Yeah, there you are. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, I think we got you. Could you introduce yourself to the people? Let them know who you are, where you're from.
My name is Mark Sexton. I am in a band called The Sextones out of Reno, Nevada. And we're playing at Moe's on May 14th, this Sunday.
That's right. You guys are smooth, you know that?
Yeah, well, we've been told that a few times. Maybe the name has something to do with it.
Yeah, that's actually
the music we love.
That's right. Yeah, that's actually my first question. I noticed that originally your band's name was the Mark Sexton Band. So I was wondering what prompted the change to the ever so smooth name of the Sextones.
Yeah, so we were touring as Mark Sexton Band for a while since high school. And we decided we wanted to switch things up to a name that more accurately represented the style of music we were starting to play. People were already kind of calling us the Sextones, and we wanted to kind of get out of the world of first name, last name bands that we kind of were seeing in the scene.
Right.
So this was one way of separating ourselves, and we're happy we did it.
That's right. Beautiful name. Very, very fitting to the band.
Yeah, and it's easy because my last name's Sexton.
So. Yeah. And I noticed as well that your younger brother is also in the band?
Yes, my brother Chris.
Nice.
He's 5 years younger than me, and he's a super trained jazz pianist.
Wow.
But he's been in the band for a while now, and it's really great having your brother in the band. He really holds it down. He's super knowledgeable. He's easy to get along with. He's easy to be around. All the other guys get along great with him. And, more musical chemistry when you have your brother in the band along with guys that you've been playing with since high school. You know, we've been playing together a long time, so we kind of have a little bit of telepathy when we're playing on stage.
Right. Very nice. It's a family affair, just about, huh?
It totally is, pretty much. We're all brothers.
Yeah. That was my second question. Now, you guys have been playing together since high school. The chemistry must be absolutely second nature. So after all these years, do you guys continue to learn off one another, or are there still surprises within the band while creating and playing together?
Yeah, I think absolutely. One of the biggest things and biggest perks, I think we're just really lucky because we push each other. It would be one thing if we just all stagnated, but we're all just constantly striving to be better musicians. And we're constantly turning each other on to little nuances in different genres of music. We listen to a huge variety of things. So we're just like, not only, you know, is the chemistry there, but I think the chemistry is there because we're pushing each other. We're learning together. We're growing. Like, in a sense, we're growing together, you know, as
right.
Our tastes have changed, our band has changed, our sound changes. So that's been a really important part. And keeping it fresh is always evolving and evolving, not separately, but together.
That's right. That's great. Makes sense. I've noticed that there are two separate sprouts as well from the group, the What It Do archive group and the Del
Juan
organ trio, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. We have our other side projects, I think. You know, musicians, we get a little stir crazy if we're involved with one project for too long.
Right.
And we want to be able to stretch our legs and do something a little bit, creatively fulfilling in a different genre. And that's what we have with What It Do. That's Alex, the bass player, Alex Korostinski, and
right.
of the Sextones, and I's other project with another drummer.
Right.
And we just released an album with that group. And it's just been it's gearing up to be a wild summer with all these releases with all these different bands.
It's going to be a good time, right?
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who aren't familiar, the band The Sextones consists of Mark Sexton, Alexander Korostinski, Daniel Wise, and Chris Sexton.
That's us.
That's them, The Sextones. I also read that the album Moonlight Visions was recorded in the summer of 2015, but then there was a year and a half spent mixing and producing the album afterwards. Was that a brutal process, or did it allow for a continuous turning of the wrench to assure that the album was as tight as it needed to be?
It was a little bit of both of those things. It was brutal in the sense that it was, I think we were making it hard on ourselves, paying all this attention to detail. And we got some growing pains throughout that whole thing.
Right.
But at the same time, through those pains, we learned a lot of really cool things. So, yeah, I look at the overall experience as being very positive.
That's right. Worth the time.
Worth the time, for sure.
Absolutely.
And I think all the time that we spent learning all these things about production and whatnot has shortened the length of time that we spend on other things now. And now we're much better at making fast decisions.
Nice, that's right. Learning fast, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I also read that you guys recorded the album on 2-inch analog tape. I was wondering if you could explain that decision. Or...
Yeah, we recorded Moonlight Vision on 2-inch analog tape, and also our upcoming album is recorded on quarter-inch tape. So
wow.
We actually went down in tape size.
2 inches
too
much. Not
that matters, but we're just, at the end of the day, like, we're a bit of analog, we're analog junkies, you could call it,
right.
Where we're kind of chasing after a lot of the tones that we hear on some of those timeless records that influenced us. So one of the, I think what we believe is one of the true magic ingredients is tapes gives you kind of a choice, limited atmosphere, like a choice. It limits the amount of decisions that you're able to make. You know, if you're working in computers, you can kind of get choice paralysis,
right,
with all the options that you have. But when you're working in an analog domain, you have to just make decisions on the fly and be sure of yourself. And so not only the sound, but also the workflow are two big parts of why we enjoy working in the tape domain so much.
Right. That's very cool, man. That's almost like you're trying to recapture that essence of music from the past, in a sense.
Yeah, there's just like a magic special, like, secret sauce, I think, on a lot of these records.
And, yeah.
I mean, without getting too nerdy, and I can get real nerdy about it, but
please.
Yeah, I guess I could just say that we believe in the mystique that tape just gives you that little je ne sais quoi, that little something.
Little extra spice on top.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. No, that's a great approach. I mean, I think maybe as an audience member, a listener, I think I could appreciate that quality when I hear the recordings and the music you guys are putting out.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm glad that it's coming through. And we're not just wasting our time with all this stuff.
Right. you mentioned once, I read, that the intentions for Moonlight Vision's production was to have a sonically classic-sounding album, like you were saying right now, like timeless music, and sounds that are reminiscent of music we grew up listening to, but with a modern character. What music or artists that you grew up listening to, you think, inspire these albums the most, or the music that you make today?
Oh, man. I mean, we get this question a lot, and
right.
One of the things is we kind of were lucky enough to grow up in households where really great music was being played by our parents and the people who raised us. So we were just constantly listening to artists like Stevie Wonder,
nice.
Tito Puente, Frank Sinatra,
nice.
Smokey Robinson, and the list goes on. We
right.
were listening to truly great music, and, you know, it's one of those things, as you grow, you look back on some of the stuff that you were exposed to, and you go, wow, this is really good, and you now we're just, like, searching for more of it all the time.
Right.
Every place we go, we stop at a record store, and we're just constantly digging in crates to try and find, another lost, unnamed, unknown soul artist, you know?
Yeah. Same here.
That
man.
Kind of perks our ear. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of fun. It's just the hunt, and you not only are you hunting for new music to listen to, but you're also hunting for inspiration.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that diversity that you mentioned said a lot. You said Tito Puente, Stevie Wonder, and Frank Sinatra. Like, that's such a diverse spectrum right there of great music.
Yeah, and we had to hone it in. You
right.
know, we have so many influences from the Beatles to Prince to, you know, all these jazz influences. With our newest record, we really had to go, hey, let's really focus in on what our sound is.
Right.
And that's what I'm really excited about right now, is we've really honed in on the sound of this upcoming record.
Nice.
And I'm really excited about it. For those people that like late 60s, early 70s soul, a la Curtis Mayfield, Delphonic, stuff like that, I think they're going to love this record.
You're bringing back the
really
good things.
You really honed in on that essence.
That's right. So we've been talking about a lot of theme of classic sounding production and music. To me, it seems that there seems to be a reemergence of soul and oldies type bands, as in the Sacred Souls, Duran Jones and the Indications, the Sincere's, and you guys, of course, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that this has been brought on by a sudden demand by music lovers to bring that type of music back? Or is it more so an urge by artists like yourselves who want to bring that sound back?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, when I think of this kind of movement of, you know, people, some people call it throwback soul. Some people call it soul revival. Some people just call it, you know, just good music. But, you know, a lot of it was started with the Dap Kings and Amy Winehouse collaborating in the early 2000s. And that really kicked it off. And even before that, there were groups like the Poets of Rhythm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's first and foremost, we're just fans of this style of music. And this is like the music that, you know, tickles our fancy per se. And we just want to make music like our idols do.
Right.
And so it's a little bit of a demand of the public. Maybe people are a little fatigued. Their ears are tired of hearing some of the top 40 type sounds.
Right.
And it's really fresh when you hear a band like the Sincere's or, you know, Kelly Finnegan or Monophonics,
right.
Where it just sounds raw, it sounds gritty, it sounds true, it sounds honest. And yeah, so I think there's a little bit of public demand for it, but it's definitely it's a clique, it's a niche of people that really love this music. And when I say they love it, I mean they really, really love it.
Right. Yeah, I think artists as yourselves are doing a public service, bringing that good music around.
Yeah, yeah. We're just honored to be surrounded by, you know, have our name be in there somewhere,
right,
with some of all those great bands you mentioned. So.
Right. As an artist, do you think it's difficult to balance ideas from the past and mix them with contemporary ideas and new innovations in music?
Yeah, I do. Because you're kind of walking that tightrope between being true to an era, but also making it sound relevant to today's times lyrically. You know, you can't just verbatim try and spit out a 60s soul song.
Right.
It has to have some kind of cultural tie to today. And I think it's almost another one of those unspoken things. You just hear it. You can hear that it's made today, even if the production value is very much of the 60s. You can just tell because of the lyrics, because of the melodies, that it's a... That's where the modernness, I think, can come through in a cool way.
Right.
But, you know, you kind of also have to be careful because you can kind of jump out. You can kind of go out of bounds a little bit and sabotage what you're doing. So, it's, you know, you can take the risk, and sometimes it comes out really well. You got to blend the music of today and the music of yesterday. And I think that's a really beautiful harmony if you can get it just right.
That's right. Adapting with the times, but keeping that essence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember the past, but grow with the times.
Right.
I guess it's the simplest way of saying what I'm trying to say.
You briefly described the new project coming up, the new album, Love Can't Be Borrowed, as...
Mm-hmm.
In relation to Curtis Mayfield sounding late 60s, 70s, would you care to elaborate a bit more on that? And how would you describe this new coming project album, Love Can Be Borrowed, in contrast to Moonlight Visions?
I think it's a lot different than Moonlight Vision. We were really lucky to work with a great musician and producer and songwriter, Mr. Kelly Finnegan from the Monophonics. He produced the record.
Wow, nice.
And he really molded our direction and our sound, and he saw an opportunity to do something that's kind of our own within the all the bands and artists that are doing such a great job of bringing back the soul sound. But we found I think we carved out our own little pocket. And, yeah, like I said before, I think it's really for those people that are fans of sweet soul, sweeter soul sounds, a la Curtis Mayfield, Delphonics, some of those harmony groups. But then also the record has a little bit of a darker tone to it than Moonlight Vision by a lot.
Okay.
And it's a lot less aspiring to be a pop album, but just more of like something that you would discover and go, what's this? You know, like,
right.
like a rare soul 45 kind of mentality.
Nice.
We're not trying to really get people with the pop hook, but we're more just trying to get people on a deeper level than that.
Okay, that's right. Would you say there's a theme when you think of the lyrics or general ideas that came into each song with this album, or not necessarily?
There's not necessarily a theme, but we try to not write too many songs just about love,
right.
Especially in the genre. There's just, it's easy to write another love song, but it's more fun when you get really specific or you write to something that's just a little new, a little more fresh. You take a risk. So we've got songs ranging from love songs to political songs, heartbreak songs,
nice.
Feel-good songs, inspirational songs, but, you know, all while trying to keep our eye on the prize of it, having it fit within the vibe of the album.
Right. Oh, man, sounds like it's going to be a great album.
Yeah, I speak for all the guys when we really feel like it's truly the best thing we've ever done.
Nice, that's right. I was also wondering, we mentioned with Moonlight Visions how much time was spent in production, and I also read that you guys would test the songs while out on tour. So I was wondering, mm-hmm. with this new album, Love Can't Be Borrowed, was it created in a similar manner, or was there a different approach?
This was one of the wackiest approaches to recording an album ever. We were touring with songs that we were road testing for a while.
Okay.
And these songs sounded completely different than how they ended up on the album. We took them to Kelly Finnegan, and we showed them to him. And, you know, he really opened our eyes to how we could make this all fit really well into the spirit of the album. And all these songs changed, so we had this really confusing period of time where we had two versions of the song, you know, in our heads, and
right.
we're still playing live during this, and we're going, which version do we play?
Right.
And we're mixing them up, and so these songs did not get road tested in the way that the last record did. We thought we were road testing them, and then all of them ended up changing in pretty drastic ways. Some of the melodies stayed the same. Some of the key centers stayed the same.
Okay.
But it just got really confusing because
right.
we're going, oh, we're so used to these old versions. And then the new versions are just these records. You know, we kind of recorded them really quickly and we had not performed them live. So there was just this period where we had to learn what we had recorded on the album in order to play live.
Nice.
And luckily, I think we did. I think audiences approved.
That's right. That's right. You got to make it work, right? Was it a change
yeah.
for the better, you'd say?
And I think, yeah, when you're in the live band circuit, I think you feel a pressure. There's a lot of touring bands out there that are just doing hundreds of shows a year. And you start to kind of change your writing because you're trying to appease a live audience. And you're really thinking
right.
about, like, how are we going to get people out of their chairs and dancing, and how do we keep the energy up, blah, 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 blah. But I think we just came at it in reverse, and we're going, how do we just write a really good song that people are going to sing along to or remember, and they're going to come to our shows because they know the song, rather than us trying to win them over with a high energy show.
Yeah, the true essence of a classic right there.
Yeah, you know, you can go see an artist, a popular artist, and you can sit down in a chair because you know all their songs. They're not trying to win you over.
Right.
Whereas a lot of touring bands, you know, that's kind of the name of the game. You're playing to a lot of people who don't know who you are or barely know who you are. So you're trying to constantly win them over by being high energy or putting on a high energy show. But we wanted just to have songs that kind of just like are earworms and they stick in your head and you're singing them all. You're singing them, you know, all day. And
groove tracks.
That's what we want these people to marinate in the songs in the album and then come see us live.
Very nice. Very nice. You guys have an extensive background while being on tour, whether performing at the Sundance Film Festival or working with Alan Evans from Soul Live. Is there a certain experience while being out on tour that left a huge impression on the band, whether musically or just a memorable lesson or just a particular enjoyable memory?
Oh, man, we've had so many. a real big one that comes to mind is we were lucky enough to do two European tours in 2018 and 2019.
Wow, that's
amazing.
And
we were just, the schedule was just packed. We were playing every night for a month straight, you know, 30 days back to back. Seeing all these new countries, all these new cultures every day. And that was kind of a cool, life-changing experience, not only as just a musician, but as a person.
Right.
And being over there and just seeing how our music was received and how American music is just such a... It made me really realize how special of a thing we have with American music, soul music, jazz music, blues music, rock. It's all birthed here, and it's we sometimes take it for granted, but it's like romanticized over there.
Yeah.
So people are just coming out because they're just really excited to see an American band playing American music.
Yeah.
So you can, I think that I just got really inspired by that, and I went, wow, we really have a history of just great music born in America.
Right.
And that was cool. And we've just done a lot of, like, road dogging, playing shows all over the United States. And that's wonderful, too, sharing the bills with really great acts. And sometimes you see an awesome band, like the band we're on tour with right now, Andre Cruz and Chris Lujan. We're their backing band, so I guess we're the band. But they're incredible artists. Andre Cruz, an incredible singer. Chris Lujan, great songwriter and musical director for these shows, and we're just blown away and inspired by them, and we're in the band.
that's right, man. That's great. Yeah, it's like you're taking across the American torch of soul music to Europe.
Yeah, we're almost just like preservationists.
Right.
You know, we're trying to preserve this thing that we think is really cool and show it to as many people as we can in, you know, the younger generation. It's just easy to take it for granted. And it's just truly, undeniably good music that we're trying to make and we're influenced by.
That's right. Well, while you were out there abroad, did you have a chance to play with other musicians from different backgrounds or, let's say, like Europe? And maybe see different things you'd like to incorporate into your music or not necessarily?
Yeah, I think with some of our other projects, especially like with What It Do Archive Group, we take a lot of inspiration from Italian composers, guys like Ennio Morricone and Sonia Brugnolini. I'm trying my best with these Italian names. But there's just all kinds of great talent around the world. And, yeah, some Eastern influence especially. But, you know, applying it and learning from it.
That's right. Yeah. All right, well, finally I'd ask, what are the aspirations of the Sextones? What do you think lies in store for the future of the band once the new album is released?
I think we want people to listen to the record and enjoy it. And I think, like, one, you know, a thing that would make me and the guys happy is just being able to play places throughout the world and having people who are familiar with our music. And I'm hoping this record is something that paves the way for that direction for us, you know. I mean, every artist wants to be able to play to people familiar with their music anywhere, anytime. And that's kind of a really special thing. And, yeah, that's I guess, the goal at the end of the day, whether it's a niche or we're not trying to be the next Bruno Mars or anything. We just want the people that this music speaks to, it to really speak to them. And I think it's one of the most flattering things when people say, oh, my God, your new album is just, you know, incredible. And those conversations really go, you know, fill our hearts with joy. And, yeah, I mean, that's what we want, is just to connect with people through our music.
That's right. And
It's a bit generic of an answer, but it's true, you know.
Yeah.
If you feel like your music's touching people and they're having moments in their lives to your music, you know, we've done things where our song is the first dance of a couple, or right. You know, it's stuff like that that's really special.
Yeah.
If we're impacting other people's lives.
Absolutely, man. Oh, that's a great answer, man. It's honest, right? It seems like.
Yeah, I try to be honest.
What you guys
honesty
do.
Honesty in music, honesty in life. Yeah, I think that's a principle of good music is honesty. So
right.
We're just trying to be honest and genuine and be real.
Right. Yeah. No, man, I think listeners, myself included, do appreciate this soul revival, and not only the soul revival in itself, but hearing the way you explain the little details that go into the recordings and the way you approach it in order to touch that essence that the past sort of, you know, had in its analog tape, as you would say. I think that's definitely appreciated.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I'm just trying to spread the word, spread the gospel, and... Yeah, thanks for giving us the opportunity to chat. We're really excited to be in Santa Cruz. It's been a minute since we've been there.
That's right.
We're looking forward to being at Moe's Alley this Sunday. And we're really, it's a cool tour because we're pulling double duty. We're the backing band for Chris Lujan and Andre Cruz, and then we are also playing our own set. So it's a lot of music. Packed into a short amount of time, so make sure you come out if you're into the vibes. Moe's Alley is a great venue. It's been great to us in the past, and we can't wait to be back.
Yeah, y'all heard it. This Sunday, Mother's Day, Moe's Alley, 7 p.m. The smoothest, cleanest music coming from the Sextones. You know where to be. I see that you guys are also in Oregon today.
We're playing a show in Bend.
Nice, very
today,
nice.
Today, yeah.
That's right.
I'm actually in the van. I'm hiding from all the guys. It's quiet in here.
That's right. They're shy, huh? They were nervous.
No, they're talkative. They'd be just yelling over me.
Right. Well, once again, for the listeners, this has been an interview with Mark Sexton of the Sextones, who will be in Santa Cruz at Moe's Alley this Sunday, Mother's Day, at 7 p.m. Check them out. Mark, thank you so much for coming on. It's been,
thank
it's
you.
Been really
DJ
good talking.
DJ Slow Jams, appreciate you
yeah.
and everybody over at KZSC.
Yes, appreciate you as well.